Our first scripture this morning is Psalm 22, verses 19 through 28. But you, O Lord, do not be far away. O my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. From the horns of the wild oxen, you have rescued me. I will tell of your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him. Stand in awe of him, all of you offspring of Israel. For he did not despise or abhor the affliction of the afflicted. He did not hide his face from me, but heard when I cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will pay before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations.
Now I'll begin the scripture. This is Paul writing. Now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith was revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be reckoned as righteous by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you're all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to his promise. May God bless and lend understanding to the reading of his word. Paul was raised a Pharisee. And I know we are past our 10:30 time, so I'm not going to belabor the point. Paul was raised a Pharisee, and old habits die hard. And he was taught that not only is the law central to his belief, but rabbinical literature and traditions were so important to interpreting the law. And that's what he studied as he was growing up. And he decided that law was everything. And rabbis who wrote the rabbinic literature, they demanded certain behaviors, such as you got to wash your dishes. Nothing wrong with that, I suppose. But that was not only just a good habit, it was required to please God. And I'm not sure that the Bible says that. And straining their drinking water, not just for purity and for health's sake, but because they were afraid they might accidentally eat an unclean animal and somehow make God unhappy, eat a gnat, and then God would be unhappy with them. The law was everything for them. And they were also ethnocentric. The world was neatly divided into two categories, Jew and Gentile. Never the twain shall meet. And it was understood that you should never marry a Gentile, and you should have as little with the Gentiles to do with the Gentiles as possible. Slaveholders were accepted. This was just part of the culture. This was part of the norm. And it was also understood, part of the fabric, men dominated the world and women were expected to be subservient in this framework. And this is what Saul grew up in. That was his name then, until he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and then everything changed for him. Suddenly he couldn't see the world through that law lens anymore. He needed a new lens to look at the world. He saw that Jesus had opened up everything. Instead of law, suddenly grace became everything to Paul. He changed his name. His name became Paul, which is more of a Hellenistic name than Saul, which was a Jewish name. Grace became his message. God's kingdom became filled with Jews and Gentiles, with men and women, with those who were slaves and those who were free. And the new parameters, they used to be law, but now there were new parameters, and he set them very clearly. No longer are we subject to a disciplinarian. In other words, law is gone, grace is coming. No longer is there Jew or Greek. No longer is there slave or free. No longer are there male and female. It's all over with, or it should be. What's left? If all those things are gone, what's left? Jesus, the Christ. That becomes our clothing. That becomes our everything. And you know, he gave us this message so clearly as he wrote to the Galatians, and it was, you know, written down, it was circulated and became part of the Bible canon. It was so clear, and yet step by step, bit by bit, we have backslidden from this message and taken away so many of the freedoms that Paul saw that Jesus had given us. Through the centuries, we started coming up with new behaviors for Christians to prove they were Christians. Ethnocentrism found a way back into our belief. It's odd because it used to be the Jews could hate the Gentiles and think they were inferior. Then it switched to the Gentiles would hate the Jews and think they were inferior, even worthy of termination. The Anglo-Saxons they decided they were the superior race, and wars were fought and laws were passed to try to undo this hurtful thought that was in their minds. But the idea of ethnocentrism still goes on. It was ethnocentrism by every bit of evidence that we've seen that led that young man to go to the store in Tops in Buffalo and shoot those people. Ethnocentrism is still with us. And even as we celebrate today, slavery ending in 1865 in this country, it's not over. There's still a slave trade going on. It's just less formalized. It's just more hidden. The government tries to fight it, but it's still there. It's still going on in our country, in our world. And like an addiction that will not go away, it's still a man's world. I actually like James Brown's version of it better. It's a man's world, but it doesn't mean nothing without a woman, he says. But we don't even act that way. Men are paid more and retire better than women for doing the same work. And we still think that's okay somehow. I don't understand that at all. What happened to no longer male or female? What happened to no longer Jew or Greek, no longer slave or free? What happened to all those things that Paul promised us in Galatians? I think that we've decided to become Pharisees again rather than Christians. And I don't mean we personally making this decision. It's just sort of like in the atmosphere. It's in the water. It's in the way Christians think. In a 2013 survey by the Barna Group, they asked self-proclaimed Christians about their beliefs and practices. And they identified, they started with a set of behaviors that they felt represented Christ as revealed in Scripture. And they thought about a set of behaviors that represented Pharisees as revealed in Scripture. And so they wrote those down. And then they surveyed people, asking them, do you believe this or do you believe that? On a scale, which one do you lean more towards than the other? And without telling them which one's Christian and which one's Pharisee, just what do you think about this concept? And when they were done, they found only 14%, only 1 in 7, and these are self-proclaimed Christians taking this survey, only 1 in 7 identified with the behaviors they placed with Christ. 6 out of 7 had some kind of mixture of Christianity and Pharisaism built into their belief system. So the Pharisees, you know, they're the bad guys in Scripture, and yet they might have won in our hearts. And I say our hearts, because who knows how much Pharisee I've got in me. We have to assess that. They say that, you know, there's a way out of this, you know. It's how we clothe ourselves. It goes back to this passage, how we clothe ourselves. And I'm not talking about the outfit we chose to wear today. I got the memo. I was going to look just like Annette today. I had a blue shirt to wear, and it had a spot on it that would have been obvious. So I got the memo. I tried to clothe myself like my wife. It didn't work. They say clothes make the man. But I'm here to tell you that my being a man doesn't mean anything apart from my being a Christian. I want to clothe myself with Christ, not masculinity. And I'm a white man, but I'm a follower of Jesus. That's my clothing. It's not the color of my skin. Here's something that we're all going to learn someday should we make it into heaven. If race and ethnicity has any place in heaven, if people remember what race they were when they walked the earth, or what ethnicity they were when they walked the earth, we white Anglo-Saxon Protestants are going to be in the decided minority in heaven. For the first time, perhaps, in our existence. Laws are useful to a society, and they can make us act right even if our insides are all wrong. And Jesus spent a lot of time teaching about what's inside versus what's outside and how things appear. But we need to stop and think of ourselves. I'm not bound by the law. What I'm bound by is grace. My clothing is Jesus Christ, not the way I appear to adhere to the law. I'm a free man living in a free world. But I'm not able to look down at those enslaved and say, I'm better than you are. I'm a slave to sin, trying to get free, asking to be clothed with Christ. This is the attitude Christians need to have. Jesus is the reason for this sermon. Jesus is the reason for this church. Jesus should be our sense of identity. You know, there are all kinds of distinctions we would be tempted to make. All kinds of distinctions we'd like to use to distinguish ourselves from those around us so that we can say we're better than they are. But really, what Paul is asking us to do is clothe ourselves with Christ and to look at all those distinctions, even as they have grown up through the centuries, even as they seem to be just part of our fabric, even as they seem like they're in the drinking water or in the air. These are the things we believe. We need to do as Paul did in Galatians chapter 3 and say, no longer.